people see lots of things, but they probably don't really look. Like, I mean, I know McDonald's is a big brand, but it's not like a high-end brand, is it? They still use white space. They still have fairly simple posters and stuff on the bus stops and that. And if they're telling you to do all these, like, adjustments in a kind of micromanaging way, then technically I'd argue there's less design on the page. Do you think if everything was designed all nicely, it would actually be quite a dull world?
Hello, welcome to Well, You're the Designer, the podcast where the Chicxulub asteroid of client beliefs meets the Cretaceous dinosaurs of graphic design. Too soon? I have with me Richard Kemp.
So I'm led to believe.
And Matt Bruti.
Yep.
Highly experienced designers who spent a lot of their careers working from client briefs and actioning their amends. Often those clients have been small business owners or people whose everyday roles don't necessarily call for them to be familiar with the intricacies of design and marketing. In this podcast, we discuss the language barrier that exists between mere mortals and those who've devoted their whole careers to design. Through no fault of their own, clients can struggle to articulate what they need or misunderstand the process, but whether they like it or not, it's often part of the designer's job to manage this relationship and guide the process towards a timely and effective outcome. Each week, we pick pieces of frequently heard client feedback that typically fill our designers with dread, and we ask, what's the client trying to achieve and why do they want it? What are the consequences to the design? Is there a way we can achieve it in another way? And does the client have a point? My name's Danny Powell, and I'm here to represent the other side of the relationship and plead the case for the client. At the end of the chat, we'll wheel in the clangometer, and each of our designers will give this week's client request a score from 1 to 10 on the clangometer, 1 for a reasonable request, and 10 for a complete client clanger. This week's client request is, can you fill up all the empty space? So, guys, is this one that you've heard?
Yeah. Many, many times.
Yep, for sure.
Mm. Yeah. People get scared of a space.
Mm.
Their first reaction is fill it.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether that's just from, I don't know whether they're looking at like real estate, you know, I've got some space there.
I think so.
Let me fill that up.
Yeah, or, if I fill that or up, I've just got more for my money.
Right,
that's
okay.
More design, right,
but I think,
per pound.
I think people get uncomfortable with the sight of it as well, though. I think people struggle with the...
Yeah, I think they do, but I think, again, it's one of those things, if you look around and see, you know, like larger companies, you know, with their own design houses or have gone to agencies, you'll see that, like, white space, as it's known, is like an integral part of any layout, really.
Yeah, I think it's just as important as the typeface you use, the colours you use.
Yeah.
I mean...
It's a fundamental requirement. You know, unless you're going for the effect of everything being super busy and cramped.
I love that. When it is used, like, if you look at sort of... I don't know why years ago we were looking at sort of a project and we were looking at Japanese sort of pop magazines and...
Mm-hmm.
And they are absolutely crammed full of info and text everywhere. And
yeah.
I sort of like it when it's that extreme.
Mm.
But
it's got to be a point to it, right? Do you think?
I don't know if that... I mean, I don't know, but I think maybe for those Japanese magazines, they'll get the sense that it's just the... I don't know if it's something within Japanese culture where, you know, there's... lots of stuff crammed into small spaces, but it was
okay. So what? These were magazines.
Yeah, like spreads of magazines, and you just it's so busy.
And what could you tell what the magazines were about?
It was probably mostly like sort of pop culture, fashion,
stuff like music,
that.
Fashion.
Yeah.
All right.
In those kind of doctor's waiting room magazines, they cram the front covers with all sorts of like holding devices with copy and pictures and.
But there'll still be some white space, right? Even if it's like the background of the folks to say it's a picture of someone's face normally in it on the front of a magazine, like doctor's thing.
But you're selling the idea of it being jam-packed in that instance, aren't you?
Yeah. Look at all the things that are going to be inside here because they're all mentioned on the front.
Yeah. But I think for our customers, it's about delivering messages and... it being clear, and we always talk about this stuff, and it's our favourite subject, really.
Yeah.
Space.
What sort of design elements are we talking about here? Like ads or posters or flyers?
Yeah, I mean, like, flyers is our bread and butter, so yeah. It is mostly flyers.
Yeah.
And they,
I think generally when we have these chats, I'm always picturing a flyer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
I guess, double-sided flyer, you've got an opportunity to have something maybe stark, hero one message on one side and then a bunch of gear on the other side.
Yeah, and often you'd sort of, you'd...
Well, a lot of the time people tend to repeat information, so especially contact details, which I know, you know, you can argue, go, well, you don't know what side it's going to land if it's going through a door and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But I still think...
In that rare case, yeah. But I think...
I don't think the phone number's going to be the thing to... Like, if you're going to phone them, you're going to pick it up anyway.
Yeah. And often I would put more stuff on the back just to get that sort of impact on the front. Mm. Yeah.
Okay. So in this situation, typically you get a brief and it's got everything they want to feature, and then you give them something back with everything they ask for. Is it then additional info that they want to put on in those spaces that have been left?
Normally, I would say they ask to increase the size of the elements to get rid of the space.
Right.
So when I get a brief, normally nothing's been grouped together, so the way you'll just kind of almost get, not like a stream of consciousness, but it would just be a Word document with all the wording they want on there. So the first thing I'll do is like start breaking it up and going, okay, this is going to be my header. This will be like a little supporting sentence or paragraph. And then I'll group these things together. I'll put that in a holding device. And so you're going from having, say, what looks like 15 different elements to get onto a page. If you're clever with your grouping, you can get that down to like, you know, 6 or 5 or, you know, if you can't get it down to less than that, then you've got the front and back. But really, you only want, like, I'd say 3 or 4 things, you know, 3 or 4 elements, even if those elements, you know, like a bullet point list in a holding device on the page, that could be 12 different items in a way, because it's that list. But if you kind of, you know, you can split it up into 2 columns, get it in a holding device, now it's one thing and you can move that around and that sort of stuff.
That's a great tip for a young designer, isn't it? Before you start fiddling with design, just get all the elements on the page. Don't worry about what typefaces or colours or anything. Get your hierarchy sorted and spacing before you start, fiddling around fonts, because the temptation is to sort of get drawn into what you're doing.
Don't start with the details and then try and work out. So I always work in black and white. Like Matt said, I do my grouping so I know what bits are going together and how it's going to work and what's going to be biggest and stuff like that. Think about how I'm going to use the image, if they supplied any images. And once I've got the layout, because if the layout works in black and white, once you start, you know, changing the fonts and adding colours and, you know, all the little finessing touches and stuff like that, then it's going to be great. Because you can kind of mask, like same with logos, you can mask not the best solution by flattering it with like colours and effects and that sort of thing. So initially you go like, ooh, yeah. But if you take it all away, it should still be pleasing to the eye, you know, in black and white because of the layout and the hierarchy and stuff like that.
Mm.
So yeah, always start in black and white.
Mm. It goes back to what we talked about when we talked about, you know, making stuff pop. You're doing hierarchy, but there's space to allow the different messages to breathe and be seen.
So at that planning stage, you're already thinking about space. You mentioned a couple of things there, Matt, but what are you really trying to achieve by leaving a bit of space?
It's just easier on the eye. It's easier to digest the messages on a say flyer if it's got a bit of space around it and you can just focus on that one thing and not be distracted and... You know, you can
use it to guide the eye.
Yeah, you're guiding the eye around the page.
It's like literally part of the structure of the layout. So if you, almost like, I guess in some ways like scaffolding or something, you know, although it's not something that you put in the forefront, or like girders in a building or something like that, yeah. But if you take them away, it's not going to work because you need the space, because it's almost like, you know, an object or an image in its own right in a way, you know, like that white space.
I often think about the stages someone might look at a flyer. So the first thing you've got to do is go, oh, what's that? So then you've got that, you know, like we were saying, that front side of the flyer that's, you know, got a bold design, space around it, and you get that initial impact. And then you've got to quickly move on to the next thing that got to have their interest. So the message or the, and then yeah, you, and then you just work it down from there. And you sort of you're thinking right from the start that journey someone's taking in that sort of 2 seconds, yeah. 3 seconds.
Yeah. And just make sure it's a clear pathway so that you kind of roughly, even if you can't guarantee it, but you know where you want the eye to go, and you do that, you know. So you don't just put big things at the top and small things at the bottom, you know. It's about getting that kind of like random balance. So it's not all perfectly in line. Although, I mean, I use a grid to some extent just to keep everything like nice, but I'm not like a slave to it. So, you know, you want to break the grid at some points. But essentially, yeah, it's about having that random balance. And I tend to like keep things in odd numbers. So I wouldn't use, unless it lends itself to the brief, but as a general rule, so, like, you know, I only really want 3 fairly big things on there. I don't want 4, you know, and that sort of thing. I don't want 6, but I might consider 5, depending on, you know, and that sort of thing. So it's just all these basic rules I kind of start with, and then you can start tweaking it and going, oh, okay, but this is for a, I don't know, like a jumble sale. So I can actually be a bit messier and be a bit more, like, wild with it, because that's part of the excitement of a jumble sale, right? It's just loads of stuff, and it's not particularly well organized, and you get to like be a treasure hunter and like dig for all this stuff and that sort of thing. So then you can go, oh, okay, you know, I'm gonna have like loads of stuff everywhere, you know. So instead of a bullet point list, you might break them up into single words and dot them all around. As long as you're going to need some kind of like visual glue to like pull it all together, so everything's not separated. Some kind of like background, like device, like a, you know, like a starburst or a circle. Or you need something if you're kind of working from the center out and you're scattering all this stuff. You need something to hold it together.
Yeah.
But you'd still need, you know, some space in there, just from a legibility point of view. Because if all your words are running into each other, it is, you know, it's a pain to read. So people won't, you know, people don't like reading, so they've got to make it as easy as possible.
That's an interesting point you made about what the flyer is for, because, you know, often you associate lots of space with sort of higher end
products,
but then you can
something
as
like
a
vodka or mineral water or something where it's supposed to be very pure and not much there.
Yeah,
the design reflects it.
Yeah, or even like, you know, expensive watches or whatever, you know, they're just not going to clutter it. So you can use it to your advantage as a designer. If you know, if the company is a bit more cheap and cheerful, you know, and they're trying to appeal to a, you know, a more cost-effective audience, then you can use it. But you still want the messages to be deliverable. Like, sometimes you've got to get that balance.
Yeah. It sounds like you're bringing in insights into human perception of how you notice something and where your eye moves, and also insight into the product and stuff like that. But I mean, surely the client, I mean, they're humans too. They see things like everyone else. Does something happen in their minds when it's their own thing where they see it differently?
That's interesting.
I mean, yeah, I think so. But I think people, you know, people see lots of things, they see the same amount of things as we do, but they probably don't really look, because you know, in your, you know, like any established brand, marketing and promotional items will be done to a certain level, right? It'll be done properly by professional design agencies and stuff like that. So the thing with good design is you almost don't really notice it, because it just, you know, because they have got the white space and it is easy to look at, but so people kind of see it every day, but don't really, really look. So they don't really, really know. So when you tell them that, they probably just like don't believe you. But then when you go and look at stuff, you go like, there is plenty of space. Like, you know, like even like, I mean, I know McDonald's is a big brand, but it's not like a high end brand, is it? But they still they still use white space and stuff like that. They still have fairly simple, you know, on their posters and stuff, or on the bus stops and that. There's nothing crazy going on. I mean, bus stops are always a good place to look, because then you'll see that there is lots of white space. They don't have the logo massive at the top. They don't have a massive phone number at the bottom, you know. There'll be calls to action and contact info on there somewhere, but it will be the key message that really stands out, along with plenty of space.
I think customers are really focused on what they want to say and how much can they squeeze onto that flyer, you know. Mm. Oh, I haven't mentioned, you know, this service we do, so let's get it in there. There's a gap, we can fill it with that. Yeah.
Oh,
you know,
there's a gap at the bottom. Can we put the phone number on this side as well?
Yeah. But it, you know, could be to the detriment for sure.
Yeah, I think a small business, from a copy point of view, I think they can sometimes see that it's like their CV. They would have put everything they've ever done on it.
Yeah.
Because they're proud. But even that's bad for the business. A CV, they don't want to sell themselves short. They want to get their money's worth out of you guys.
Mm.
Yeah, but like, that's not getting your money's worth out of someone, is it? I don't think. It's just, you know, because getting your money's worth is like having a conversation and, you know, I always say to them, at the end of the day, like, it's your job, it's your money, it's your business. If that's what you want, I'll do it. Mm. But this is why I don't think you should. And sometimes they listen and sometimes they don't. My go-to analogy is like, if you've got friends, you know, about the space bit, if you've got friends coming round or you've got someone coming round to your house, maybe you're selling it, maybe you're just having like people around, you don't unpack everything you own and put it all over the floor and on the sofa and against the wall. So when everyone get there, all like trying to get through things, because it's not nice, right? You want some space, yeah? Sure, there's a sofa and there's a thing. There's, you know, like a table and what have you, but essentially one thing you do is you tidy up and create as much space as possible, don't you? So it's comfortable and people don't go like, bloody hell. I mean, I'm sure they've got loads of nice clothes and board games and all that sort of, but you don't get everything you own out of the loft and just carry it around the house. Yeah, because I just want you to get your money's worth of your visit so you can see everything.
Oh, you should have got a solar stream.
Yeah, exactly. So that's normally how I play it. But they, you know, it's 50-50 whether they... Because I think sometimes it probably sounds like a blag, do you think? Because they're going, oh, do some more work. And you're like, no, I don't need to, mate.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's white space that is. You don't want to mess with that. Yeah. It probably just sounds like a bit of a blag.
Yeah.
But you can imagine it, can't you? Someone's head going like, oh, well, why, you know. Oh, yeah, all right. You just can't, you know.
Yeah.
So I think you've got to give them some benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I mean, the real this return on investment, isn't it, is your money's worth, isn't it? Not how much design is on the page. It's how effective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That piece of marketing.
And if they're telling you to do all these like adjustments in a kind of micromanaging way, then technically I'd argue there's less design on the page.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because it hasn't been designed, is it? It's just been crowbarred in.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, and there's been many a nice, you know, you can keep, so I'd done a poster for a play and I was really, really pleased, and then they go, oh, you know, now can we add like 12 cast members' names, this photo and this footer from the theatre that has to be as is and all this sort of stuff. So when you scaled it up, it like took up a further, it's just like, I really wish you told me this up front.
Mm.
And then you'd constantly trying to not absolutely butcher the layout and design and still meet their requirements. You know, they've paid their money, they get the service and stuff. We got there in the end and it was all cool. But
did you find you were hanging on to that first design, like you were trying to maintain the photo
like I think actually gave it something. I was like, actually, cause it, you know, it wasn't too bad. That was all there, I think. In, I don't know if they were like in costume, but they were definitely kind of in character, yeah? So they're all like doing expressions and poses, like a group photo of, I guess, their characters. And but it was just on a white background. It was like well lit, you know, compared to some photos you get. So I'd done like a paper cut style because it just suited the style of the poster and put it down there. And actually it looked, you know, and I could use their feet to like overlap a couple of things. And it worked. I was pleased.
You mentioned that paper cut effect there. Does space have to be blank, or are we talking about textured stuff?
Yeah,
no, gradients, colours.
Yeah. I think white space is a bit misleading. It doesn't literally mean it has to be like white or the stock. It just means there's no text or like,
yeah, as long as
singular image.
Yeah, as long as there's nothing to slow the eye down. Yeah. So it's that flow again, the flow around the page, yeah.
Because essentially, if you think of, you know, like a typical A-series format, you want the space to kind of be in interesting places, so it's balanced, but not just in a straight, although you obviously, as always, I feel like I want to say something, but obviously all the caveats.
Mm.
But really, you kind of, you know, you want it moving around because that keeps the eye moving. And if you can, you want to get the eye to go back to the, you know, if it's a poster, you want the eye to go back to the top or back to the middle so it circles round. So you just put in these little visual cues where, you know, so if you've gone like this, then you're going to go like that and kind of get thrown back to the top. Or if you want them to turn over, you can kind of nudge them to turn over or turn the page if it's a brochure. But if everything's full up, it's hard to do that.
I do that thing sometimes where I really zoom out on the screen or squint my eyes just to see if it, that you're getting that flow.
Yeah.
These days, I just take my glasses off. All right.
Yeah, sometimes, I just push back in because you've got, like, wheelchairs and hard floors, haven't we? So I just push back and just, like, have a little squint, or, like, Matt, take my glasses off. And then you should be able to at least see, you know, the odd number of, like, the top three biggest things should be there and they should be balanced nicely and the other things.
And these are the kind of things that you can express to a client who's maybe pushing back on the space. Can you say, oh, well, but your eye does this? And
I mean, you can, but I think, if you're like...
Depends if you can be bothered, really.
Yeah, I think just because of, like, our way of working here is different to an agency or freelancer, where there's probably a bit more of a relationship with the client, everything's probably actually a bit of a slower pace. There will be some sort of, you know, look and feel type mood board things and, you know, and some rough, and, you know, and it's kind of like a narrowing down. So at each stage, you make sure everyone's happy and you can explain things and show examples. But obviously that takes time. Whereas our turnaround is pretty quick. So you generally... you kind of put something together, you know, you can have an initial chat or they've written a email and you're like, okay, I get what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll put something together and then it will be going for amends from that. So you can, if you're really, but it's kind of...
It depends how much you care about a certain project as well, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're not, I mean, I'm invested in it, but I can't be as invested in something as someone who spent 3 months working on a project, a poster design or something. Yeah. I've been through all this stuff. I just can't be. So I just kind of go, you know, I'll say, if I think it's going to be a really bad idea, I'll always say that, but I'm not going to go like back and forth on it. I'm not going to cause a fracas. So if they just go, well, I want that thing in that space, I'll be like, okay. And I'll try to make it look as good as possible, but some people just want it to look like they did it. Like, at the end of the day, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if that's really what they want, then fine. Because maybe the next person doesn't want it to look like they did it. Mm. And I can spend more time on that than fighting someone who just... like, you know, wants what they want. Fair enough.
Yeah, it's weird because in terms of like the history of marketing, I mean, as a copywriter, there's this guy, David Ogilvy, early 60s, maybe even late 50s. He's like the Beatles of copywriters who came along and changed everything. Like, before that, it was like, buy these nylons and your husband won't run off.
Yeah.
And he's the guy who sort of was into sort of picking one thing, heroing it, putting it in, working with designers, putting it in loads of space. So he did like Dove soap. He went and had meetings there and he went for a walk around the factory and he said, and some guy says to him, it's actually 1/4 of this is moisturising cream. He's like, there you go, 1/4 moisturising cream. The same at Rolls Royce.
Rolls Royce is 1/4 moisturising.
It is, yeah. Not many people know. No, some old fella on the factory floor mentioned that the loudest thing on it at 60 miles an hour is the clock. And so he took that, made that, you know, basically the only copy on the ad. And he did the famous kind of Volkswagen ones, white background, loads of space, just some very kind of Scandi Sans copy.
Mm.
Yeah, just pick out a USP, leave it there. And obviously we are now 70 years ahead of that, but there's still that pull to sort of fill it with stuff. Don't hero one message. Get everything we've ever done on the, on the ad.
Yeah, but it just, I mean, I don't think it works particularly well.
I think what Matt said earlier about, you know, lower ticket price items, budget brands, all that kind of stuff, like your farm foods leaflet that comes through the door, it's just an assault on the senses, isn't it?
It is just
to give you an idea that there's so many discounts, you can't even conceive of it.
Yeah. But within that, there will be a structure to it, and of course that is the purpose of that leaflet, isn't to sell you one message, is it? It's literally so you can see how much things cost, and so it's like a price list, right? Essentially is what it is, isn't it? It's a price list with like pictures. But I reckon still in that, although it is chock-a-block, there will be some...
A bit of care.
Yeah. I reckon there'll be some, like...
Mm.
You're about to look at it and go, oh, yeah, but there is a method in that. There is a system to it. And there will be just little things they've done just to break it up so it's not quite so maddening. But, yeah, I think you're right. Busier things I would associate with cheaper things.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, maybe that's a bit of counter feedback you can give. Like, if someone is pressing you to fill those spaces up, you want it budget, do you? You want it,
But then,
you want to take it down market? We can do that.
Yeah, but then go, yeah, but I don't want people think. You go, oh no, you know, if you they go, yeah, but you know, I don't want people thinking we're expensive. You know, like designers, customers have got an answer for everything. You know,
menus are a good challenge, aren't they? Because you've got a lot of info on there, and. It's very functional, but you've still got that to look good. Yeah.
Oh, man, I love a menu.
Yeah, same here.
But not if I have to go and find pictures of all the different meal deal items and then put them all together. And then they go, our chicken doesn't look like that chicken. Haven't got any other chickens.
Yeah.
Like, that drives me mad. I really don't like those.
Well, people hold that as a marker of a good or bad restaurant. Like, whether there's like a picture of the dishes on the menu, that's like a red flag.
What, if there's pictures on there?
Pictures of the meals on the menu.
Yeah. I think unless they've actually got photographers. And
as a general rule, I'd go with that. But then one of my places I like to go to in Hadley, it's got like, it's everything, you know, when Gordon Ramsay goes to restaurants and goes, no wonder you're rubbish, everything's awful. Yeah. So it looks, I mean, it's not, right? It's like, as far as I can tell, it's always busy and it's like, you know, the food's all right, but they do everything he hates. So they've got a really long menu with loads of stuff in it, quite varied. It's all in Lucida, but the Chancery style font.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So it's all like that, you know, on cream paper in a faux leather binder in plastic sheets.
Yeah,
and everything's just a little bit...
I can see it.
Bit like that, but you can't change it. Mm. This is the thing I'm going to ask you guys, what you think. So, you know, talk about design, everything should be designed nicely. Do you think if everything was designed all nicely, it would actually be quite a dull world?
Well, no, because there'd still be variety. There's not one type of nice, is
but
there?
But do you think... Or not dull, but like maybe just a little bit soulless.
I think
there's something about...
Going that. Down market and like, yeah, just, greasy spoon kind of.
No, but even something that, but something that's not wise to, like, you know, C-word and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, and it is a bit, and I find myself increasingly more drawn to those flyers that are sort of, you can tell the person sort of had a go themselves. Or,
yeah, I forget what it was on, there was some show and it was, was it a show? Something like that, but there was this place like in the States. And the menu's famous for being like massive and ugly as hell, right? And their owner does it all himself in Excel,
right?
And but when you see it, I mean, it's got it's got a beauty and charm that you just couldn't buy, you know, because it's that kind of outsider artist kind of
right,
vibe, yeah? Where he's just like, don't care, doing it my way. Mm. And it's exhaustive and complex and all that, and just like, wow.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, for all my people shouldn't do this and people shouldn't do that, I'd be gutted if all of a sudden there wasn't any, you know, unprofessional design anywhere, because I think it's, you know,
it's got
its charm, right?
Yeah, I did a project at college and it was focusing on sort of, and I used to love it at college anyway, like hand painted text or you know, those slight imperfections are the things that sort of draw you into it. Yeah, if it's really perfect, then you kind of, it's a bit cold, isn't it?
I love, you know, I love a really terrible haulage logo on the side of a lorry.
I love the signs around the, you know, around the industrial estate here, like some of the, just where they've run out of room and then the word goes down there. Yeah. You know, it's good. And you do pay more attention to those signs, But it's quite hard to fake. Like, if you try and fake it, it's obvious.
I don't know. It looks like you've done it wrong.
Yeah.
In a way that's different to someone just, like, doing it wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. And do you remember, it's the opposite Roots Hall, there was like a pizza place called Zodiac Pizza. And they had like a Zodiac theme menu.
Right.
But it unfortunately featured the inevitable cancer pizza.
Oh, God.
The most unappetizing thing I've ever seen.
Wow.
But did it have like, what is that?
Crab in it.
So is that like a seafood pizza? Oh, no, because that'd be pine seeds, right?
I don't know.
Cancer pizza.
Yeah.
I always liked, in like the late 90s, there's a place that opened a kebab place called Kebab 2000. I was just like you didn't really think too far ahead. So now it just seems like some antique kebab shop. Yeah.
So space.
Yeah,
you need it, but they want to fill it up. I think that's...
And you can use it as a tool for the...
Yeah.
You can have control of it as a designer as well.
Yeah, you can use it to, you know, push the brief.
Mm. Yeah, and ask them to be a bit brave.
Yeah.
Mm.
I think it's fine. I think it's just when people say, oh, you know, I normally find this with business cards, so they'll go, oh, you know, details on the front, logo on the back. And they go, oh, this is really, you know, I want this to be really classy. So you do the logo at a classy size with lots of space.
Mm.
And then one of the first amends will be like, oh, the logo's way too small. Can you make it as big as possible on the back?
Mm.
And then as soon as you do that, it just, like, whatever you can say about it, it doesn't look classy, no matter how elegant. I mean, now I'm thinking if you could make it. I guess if it was like, if the logo was nice enough and like attractive enough, then you could maybe bleed it off the edge.
Yeah. You go to the other extreme, yeah.
Yeah, and then, but then I'd be like, you've cropped. No, I don't want it just so it. So they always
goes right up
tend
to the margin.
Pinpoint the point where it's the least attractive and go, that's how I want it.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah, no, you can go the other way, can't you? And that can look quite nice.
Mm.
But just too much stuff, too much noise. I mean, when I worked at a head office of a retail chain, we used to like sell space in the windows. And sort of front of store, and often the local stores in the chain, they would want to push something. They got a stock in of some item and they put like A4, like printed one letter per A4 across the windows and stuff like that, when you'd already sold the space to whatever was hiding behind it.
Mm.
But you know, from the head office point of view, we kind of knew how many messages might work in whatever space there were, and that, you know, we didn't overdo it.
Yeah.
But then, of course, at a store level, it gets overdone, and then suddenly it's noise. There's nothing jumping out.
Mm.
You're not saying any specific.
It's not focused,
message.
Is it?
Not
right?
Focused.
Yeah. So, I think if you don't know where to look, you kind of go, oh, I can't. It's not worth it, because people don't go around purposely, like, reading all the advertising, right? Yeah. So if you make it, I mean, you can, do a little bit of, you know, so it's like a puzzle for them to solve or something, as long as it's not too hard, then they'll go like, oh, yeah. But essentially, if you're just bombarding information, then they're just going to go, I'd rather not get involved. Because it looks like too much work. Whereas if you got one sentence and all they got to do is look at it and their brain just goes, yep, that's what that says, then...
Yeah, retail window posters are a great example of that. Someone's walking past, they're not studying it. Someone wants to replicate a press ad in that format, it's not necessarily going to work because it's just not getting consumed in the same way.
Yeah.
So in terms of space, being asked to fill it by clients... Let's wheel in the clangometer. On a scale of 1 to 10, is that a reasonable request or a complete client clanger? Let's go with Matt first because he looks deep in thought.
Yeah. I mean, there's worse things. I think there's worse ones. You know, the one we did about copying other designs. I'm trying to weigh it up against that. I don't know. 7? See, it does annoy me when... people have that instant reaction. I'm going. Yeah. I'll go 7, but uh-huh. I can live with it. You know, if I have to.
Okay. Yeah. Rich.
I'll go 8. I think it just makes me sad.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh, it's one of those ones. Like, okay, you know, all right.
But it sounds like in some instances it is just the start of a debate and a bit of back and forth, and you can say, well, actually...
Yeah, if you've got time, but don't really have time.
It's about time, isn't it? It's all about time. Well, the clangometer has spoken. I think we've come at an average 7.5 there. So tune in next episode, where we take a freshly picked bunch of frequently heard feedback and chop finely and sprinkle it over your ears. If you like what you've heard... please like and subscribe to the podcast and recommend it to all the designers in your life. This has been, well, You're the Designer, a Solar Press podcast hosted by me, Danny Powell, with designers Richard Kemp. And Matt Bruti. Recorded and produced by Poppy Productions and brought to you by solarpress.com.